You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, our next guest defends his title in the headlining bout of UFC 273 in Jacksonville, Florida. That'll be April 9th. Although if you're watching and this is Australia, it'll be April 10th in your neck of the woods. It's the featherweight champion himself, Alex Volkanovski. Hi, Alex. How are you?
I'm very good, man. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very delighted to talk to you. All right, Alex, let's start with this part of the conversation. When you very first began to train, as all fighters do, you're just learning techniques, how to throw a jab, defend a double, blah, blah, blah. But over time, you learn what works for you and you develop a more cohesive style, right? You have a certain style now. At what point in your fighting journey did you realize you were going to end up with the style that you're using to both win and maintain UFC championship? When did you get to that point?
Man, it's tricky because over time it slowly changes. You know, you're a lot of it's going to be a similar approach of how I mold things together and things like that. But at the same time, you add like little tools, and like you look at fights earlier in my career compared to now, you're probably going to see a more striking heavy side of things, but still the same rules apply in a sense, like, you know, with the pressure and, you know, obviously scrambling the brain and all that type of sort of stuff. But, man, I don't know. It's something that me and Joe, my coach, Joe Lopez, we've molded it together. Like, you know, I think it's just through time and training together. It's sort of hard to explain because I know exactly what you're talking about. But at the same time, I couldn't pick a day when that happened. But, I mean, through time, we could just – that's what a lot of people say. What's something that's – like, you know, because me and Joe are so close, you know, what is it? It's just, he knows me. Nobody knows me better than my coach, Joe Lopez. So, you know, my whole style, like, you know, nobody knows my style more than Joe. And that's something that we've molded together through time. You know, it might not be the craziest techniques, you know, spin shit and all that type of stuff, but the right tool for the right job. You know what I mean? That's how I am. You know, I'll have a look, see what's happening and pick my shots and just scramble their brain while I'm doing it.
I want to get back to the scrambling of the brain part, but staying with your coach, Joe Lopez, for just a second. So in boxing, you'll have certain kinds of coaches where, you know, for example, when Tyson Fury went to the Kronk gym, he was looking for something that gym was known to offer, that style, so to speak, was known to offer. But other coaches are like, let's just take what you're good at and make it more of that. So do other Joe Lopez fighters fight kind of like you, or are you unique even among Joe Lopez fighters?
Definitely similar. Yeah. I think it's more of a style. Like, we obviously train hard, you know, we've got all, you need to be pretty tough to be able to put up with the shit we do in the gym. You know what I mean? And the standard we have when you're obviously, you know, in the workouts and things like that. But yeah, I think it's pretty similar. We definitely have a similar sort of a style, a lot of us. But then you're right. Like, you know, there are times where, you know, we would go to other gyms and then you would obviously pick up certain things. We've always been a more of a grappling heavy type of gym. So we're, you know, wrestling, grappling heavy and pressure type of gym where obviously you go to other gyms, like I've been to Thailand, you know, when, you know, working on your Muay Thai and things like that. And then obviously city kickboxing with some striking and things like that. But again, just adding tools to this formula that we've sort of created.
All right, let's get back now, as I mentioned, to the scrambling of the brains part. So this is something in your style that has been really fascinating to watch because it has worked at the very highest level over numerous times. Like, there's simply no denying the body of evidence at this point. Fair to say, for folks who may not understand what we're talking about, fair to say that among your many things that you do with your style, one of them is you force opponents to compute a series of decisions in a certain time frame that they can't possibly compute. You're asking them to problem solve by reading clues and then changing the game as soon as they do. Fair or unfair?
Yeah, definitely. You will see a lot of movement. But I'm the type of guy that obviously I'm playing what's in front of me as well. There's going to be reads I'm getting, without giving too much away. Or there's going to be openings that I'm going to see while I'm, scrambling and keeping them busy. Even though they might be thinking they're making the right decisions, I'm picking them off while they're making these decisions that they think is the right situation. Or they might not even make a decision. They might just be habits that they're doing, we're picking up on, and we're making them pay for. So it's a tricky one. But, it's like when you train like that, it comes a part of your style rather than something that, each step I do, each fake I do, each movement I do isn't really I'm going to do this because of this. It's going to be hard to obviously process things while I'm doing a million things at once. But at the same time, I've built that into this game that I have where it's a part of the style rather than something that I have to do. So while I'm scrambling their brain as a part of my style, right, I am getting reads. I'm picking off openings and things like that. So it's definitely a big part of it. You know what I mean? You'll see a lot of people in a wide, you shut them down, nullify a lot of things that they're doing through certain things that we do, and then take the openings that are given. Scramble their brain. Scramble the brain like how I am right now from jet lag. I'm like confusing myself as we speak right now.
I appreciate you working through that, champ. Well, here's why I think it's just so interesting, right? I mean, this is why that style works, because it's built off of something unchangeable, which is there, even the smartest person, even the very best fighter, there is only so much that the human brain can compute in a single amount of time, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it is. There's only so much computation that can happen in that. So you can rely on that as something that biology just will not fix for your opponent. And then on top of it, once they begin to think, oh, I've watched tape on Alex, I've seen he likes these combos, you can simply switch up all the combos to something new and the style still works.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. So it's funny because people are going to be, oh, I'm going to do this because of this, but they don't realize my style is if you do this, I do, you know what I mean? I've usually got different answers for whatever your answers are going to be, you know what I mean? So that's why I know you guys dive right into it. So you guys get a good understanding of it. So there's always layers of it. You know what I mean? You give me something, there's going to be a few options that I can take from there. Where a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to do this. Obviously there's going to be habits. Everyone has habits, but I feel like in offense and defense, I try not to have too many habits. You know what I mean? I'm constantly changing things. I don't want to be very repetitive. You know what I mean? Because, people can get reads. So while people are trying to get reads, they just can't keep up because I'm keeping them too busy. I'm changing things up too much for them. And then I'm making them pay every time, they think they might be getting a read or something like that. I quickly change that and be like, oh, And you can see that. Honestly, you can see that in some of your opponent's faces, even early in the fights. And they might be thinking they're doing something, then they're like, you could just see them like trying to figure it out. And then they're just almost, their face is just emotionless, like, what's going on? It's hard to explain, but you can see that sometimes where, people are going to have a game plan going in and then I can quickly take that away from them.
All right. So last question about this. What is the hardest part about that style, right? Because it seems like you'd have to have a lot of good cardio, just to be able to implement it. The other part is I've seen a lot of other people in MMA that do a lot of moving, but it's not as convincing. So it also seems to me like part of your style is you got to have good cardio, obviously, but you have to be a convincing salesman of the fakes and the feints. Otherwise you're just moving to move. Is that accurate?
Yeah, man, you can move and then just for the sake of it. But I mean, you can move and be calculated in your movements. And not every move, every movement doesn't have to be a big reaction from your opponent. But I mean, it can be just, again, like it could be a part of the confusion. It can be a part of a certain thing that you're doing just to maybe change up later. You know what I mean? There's still purpose to things that I'm doing where some people just move for the sake of it. You'll see him out of range and then just constantly moving where I feel like it's very, like, what's the point of being way out? Because you can't do nothing there and they can't do nothing there. You're just purely moving for the sake of it, where it's sort of hard to explain. But at the same time, I want to be, even though I feel like I'm doing a lot of movement, I'm at a good range, I still feel like I'm putting the pressure on because I'm still at a spot where they know I can touch them because I have. And things like that. But at the same time, while they're trying to adjust, I'm like keeping them on edge, just constantly keeping them on edge. I'm good at, this is something because you were touching on it before. And again, I know you guys, I like to dive deep in it. But someone like Aldo was a good example. And I think you will appreciate this, where he's so well-trained, where every movement, he's always in the perfect position. You move an inch to the left, he's going to have to, he has to adjust and be that perfect. You move an inch back, he's an inch forward. He's always there. He's always where the range is comfortable at, the base, he's grounded, he's powerful, he's balanced. He's always there. So it's very hard to get him out of position. You know what I mean? Because he's always adjusting. But it was something that we used against him, knowing that if I go somewhere, he has to adjust. And he's not even going to mean it. He's just going to do it that's just going to be a part of that's just how his system works. You know what I mean? I move to the left, he has to adjust. So as he's moving to the left, I'm getting him as he's going, getting to that spot and things like that. You know what I mean? So that was a good example of calculated movements. You know what I mean? So I'm doing these movements to keep them busy, not giving them time to give him time. This is for Aldo specifically. Because, again, you stand in front of him and let him work. He's obviously a counterpunch. That's why he's always powerful too, because he's always in the perfect position. But I just wanted to always get him out of position, which was hard, but that's why you had to keep him moving and then go. I think you use this term of in between steps.
Half beat is my favorite term.
Yeah. Oh, is that your term? Yeah. So, just things like that. So it was that was a good example of using again, like these people, like they think they're doing the right thing. Yeah, they don't even know that they're doing that. They're trying to figure things out and they don't really know that I'm keeping so occupied with what I'm doing and then picking my shots as I go. So they literally, and then by the end of it, they're like going, oh, I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? I was like going, yeah, I do. I know exactly what happened. I made you fight my fight. That's exactly what happened. You know what I mean? But yeah, so it's, again, there's going to be movement. There's going to be reasons for that movement. You know what I mean? There's got to be method to that madness, right? You don't want to just be moving for the sake of it. You're moving, not even knowing what you're going to do, and then you don't even know what they're going to do, but you're just moving just so you're not standing still. I probably would say to someone that was just doing that, you may as well stay still so you're more dangerous and powerful. You know what I mean? If you're going to just be constantly moving just for the sake of it, not really knowing what to do with it, because you're going to be putting yourself out of position. It's going to be hard to counter. It's going to be hard to take down, defend, take down. It's going to be hard to do all that type of stuff because you're getting yourself out of position because you're not being calculated in your approach of that movement.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Which of your wins, because you have many good ones. Obviously, the last one, Ortega, was that. Okay, so let's start there. The Ortega win to me seems like one of those wins where, in terms of what the fan base and the larger community thought about it, was unimpeachable, right? There was just no way to deny you that one. Which of your other wins do you feel like perhaps is not deserving of the respect that it gets? You bring up Aldo. That's one of the wins that I feel like really pushed you on the path to where you got, and no one says anything bad about it, but I don't know if they herald it as important as it was. Where do you look on that scale?
Yeah, that's probably one right there, because that was still a while ago as well. So that was me with that movement and all that. It wasn't a big part of my game at the time. And I was sort of getting used to that style, right? And so with that fight, obviously, to nullify someone like Aldo, again, people aren't going to really see. They're not going to know the things that were the details that I'm explaining to you and that you might have seen. A lot of the people might not understand that. They're just going to see that not as much happened, but they don't really understand the technique and the strategy behind what I was doing. But it was a good one, because I felt like I had to play a character that whole fight. You know what I mean? So it was I was on edge as well, because again, this movement was sort of new to me at the time, and keeping busy and all that type of stuff. And like, I had to do that because I know if I stand still and give him time to do his thing, that's where I can get caught. That's where, you know, that's where things can go bad for me, especially with Aldo. And, you know, my attacks, it's going to be a lot easier for him to counter and things like that. So I was like, playing a character, if that makes sense. So I was doing something that I wasn't really used to, but I had to keep Aldo occupied, where, again, a lot of people aren't going to really understand that. But that's something that, for me, was a big eye-opener. I went in there with a certain approach, with a game plan. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of game plans, but that was like a very big game plan that sort of felt, at the time, way out of my comfort zone. I feel comfortable because that's just the type of guy I'm gonna adjust and I'll make it happen. But it was definitely a weird one for me to just try and keep that up for three rounds against someone like Aldo, which was pretty impressive. But I don't know if that's coming out how I want. I don't know if you're understanding exactly what I'm regurgitating right now. But it was definitely a big one for me, I thought.
Fair enough. Is it at all frustrating that there's a certain kind of brilliance to what you're doing that, yes, maybe perhaps insiders pick up on? I'm sure other fighters and coaches really admire it, but perhaps some of the larger casualness of the fan base can't. Is it at all frustrating that there's a bit of a gap there?
It was frustrating for me. It used to be frustrating. It was something that I paid way too much attention to. But right now, yeah, I've changed that. You know what I mean? I don't look into the negatives anymore, which, I'll be honest, I was way too... I looked into that way too much. You know, I was paying way too much attention to the negatives, and I was letting it make me do wrong decisions and things like that. You know what I mean? I'd let it, there's too much weight behind these negative comments when, you know, I shouldn't even be paying attention to these. You know, you hear this time and time again, everyone knows, you know, negative, right? You know, only worry about, you know, all that type of stuff. Easier said than done. Even at the top of something that I was still always struggling with. But right now, you know, I've really, really nailed that. So right now, I don't care. People can think what they want. You know, I know that there's still a lot of love out there, and I'm just going to pay attention to that. You know what I mean? So, but again, obviously after that last one, it was definitely different. But after this one, it's going to be different again. I can guarantee you that.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about this. What does, you've beaten Max Holloway, you've beaten Ortega, you've beaten Aldo, Mendez, list goes on from there. What does a win over the Korean Zombie do for your resume?
This is a bit of a legacy fight, just purely because, you know, who was I talking to the other day, and someone was saying about his last title shot was like 9 years ago, like his title shot with Aldo. And I was like, man, I just started like then, you know what I mean? I was like still an amateur then, you know what I mean? Like, so it shows you how long he's been in the game and been at the top. So this is a guy that's been at the top of the featherweight division forever. So you look at the legends in the featherweight division, he's one of them, you know what I mean? And I've taken out pretty much most of them, you know, the guys that are, you know, I won't be able to do all of them, but I mean, because some of them are, you know, probably way too far out of the picture, but he's still in the picture now. He's still like, you know, he still took top four, you know what I mean? Which is pretty incredible for how long he's been in the game. You know, so it's a legacy fight for me. It's a feather in the cap that you maybe thought wasn't going to happen, but I mean, through injury and all that, it did happen. And again, I think he deserves it because he's been at the top of the game since this division's been started in UFC.
Yeah. What do you reckon is perhaps every fighter has positives, every fighter has negatives. He has weaknesses, he has strengths. What are some of his strengths relative to previous opponents you've had that you're certainly conscious of heading into April 9th?
You know, probably the, again, a lot of guys are, you know, would call themselves a counterpuncher, but I feel like he's sort of a type of guy that he'll really rely on you coming in or like, and then, you know, catching you coming in rather than, you know, say with a counter, like, you know, making you miss, then firing one back. He will, you know, he will try and make you obviously miss. I'm not saying he's going to let you hit him, but at the same time, he'll counter as you're coming in. So he'll eat one to give one type thing, you know what I mean? Which is always dangerous. But I mean, the beauty of that is when am I coming in? You know, that's a question that he needs to answer. You know what I mean? And I guess you'd know exactly what I mean by that. So it's easier to counter someone that's going to be pretty one-dimensional and going to be pretty obvious with their attacks. But we all know I'm not obvious with my attacks. I try not to be obvious with my attacks. And yeah, but I mean, again, there's definitely some dangers there that's why I can't be careless. But at the same time, you know, my style covers a lot of you know, these areas where he's strong. I think I nullify a lot of that purely with just my style.
Can you give us Americans a sense at home for you in Australia, what it's like, where you're at right now? Here's what I mean. We were on my podcast today. We were talking about George Kambosos because that Devin Haney fight is signed. They're going to bring it to Melbourne and you're a champion. And even for guys who aren't champion, like Robert Whittaker, who was a champion and so on and so forth. Like, and then there's Tai Tuivasa, who just had the biggest win of his career. What is it like at this moment in Australia for premier combat sports athletes? How popular really is it? And how much has your life changed in this current day?
Oh man, it's always been big in Australia, but you've seen it. Every pay-per-view seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's massive. You know, I really think this whole lockdown COVID situation, especially UFC being the only sport going, I think that was a massive, I guess it was massive globally, right? But I mean, in Australia, it really did go levels above then, especially me being able to fight then, you know, being the only like Aussie athlete and things like that. That was huge. A lot changed after that one, but it's massive, you know what I mean? It's again, we're not just numbers in the UFC now, we're contenders and champions, and you're seeing absolute studs coming out of Australia and New Zealand area, and these guys, you know, you've got so many studs out of the UFC right now that are coming through that, you know, you go to watch little shows, local shows, and I'm absolutely blown away from when I was back in the shows, the technique and the, you know, the talent that's there, you know what I mean? It's incredible. So we obviously got a lot of kids with bright futures in the sport.
Well, champ, I don't want to keep you too much longer. I know that you have. Do you have big plans for sightseeing in Jacksonville?
I don't know. Well, we're allowed out and about, which is pretty good. We're not in the bubble, which helps. But I mean, I don't know. Yeah, now I've got a couple of days early. While I'm getting over this jet lag, maybe go see some shit if we can, I guess. But I don't know. What's there to see? What you just told me, I don't know. Is it much?
Yeah, friend. Yeah, there's some. Here's the thing. Florida gets a bit of a bad rap. There are definitely some cool Florida cities. I just don't know if Jacksonville's on that list, but I guess we'll see. All right, before you go, real quick, the co-main event: Petr Yan, Aljamain Sterling. Give me a sense of if you've got a tingle about which way it's going to go and what will decide the winner of that fight.
Oh man, you have to go with Petr Yan. Just again, like obviously you're looking at the last one, obviously it was unfortunate what happened, but you can see where that fight was going and just watching Petr Yan. I know Petr Yan, I trained with him and you know, he's so durable, you know what I mean? You know, he's got the cardio, you know, he's got the heart, you know, he's even the fight, like he's got so many tools, you know, like how can you bet against guys like that? And that's like myself included. I feel like we cover a lot of areas. And then you've got the skill on top of that as well. So, you know, I think that Sterling definitely had a decent round in him that first round. Yeah, he had a lot of movement and all that. And like, you know, but I mean, at the same time, Petr Yan will, you know, he'll be defensive heavy as he put that pressure on. Obviously, get reads. slow you down. And, you know, even if he has a good round in him, Aljamain, I just think Petr Yan's just going to take over within the first two rounds. You know what I mean? And that's it. And, you know, that's even if Aljamain can get going good at the start. And again, I've got respect for Aljamain, but I just think Petr Yan is he can fight.
You certainly can. So can you. I can't wait to see your next bout against the Korean zombie Chan Sung Jung, April 9th, April 10th for the folks in Australia from Jacksonville, Florida. Champion, appreciate your time. I know you got a busy schedule. Can't wait to see it. Thank you so much.
Mate, you may. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to your breakdown. This one's going to be good. So you're going to absolutely love it. There's going to be some new ones there for you too.
Can't wait. Yeah. I love keeping you busy, mate. Thank you so much, champ. I appreciate it. I really do.